Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around. What if the thing holding you back isn't the lack of opportunity, but untapped potential? My guest today has helped leaders, millionaires, and creatives unlock the superpower that's already inside them. And his own journey proves that what happens when you break free from the limits the world sets for you. By the end of this episode, you'll learn how to identify your internal power, channel it into purpose, and create unstoppable momentum in your life and business. Frederick Douglass Bussey is an investor, author, and advisor, but at his core, he's a man who believes legacy starts at home. As the founder of Icon Status, he helps one-of-a-kind entrepreneurs and leaders tap into their genius to accelerate growth. He's also the author of Breaking Orbit, Rip Out the Regular by Unearthing the Power Within. Frederick, welcome to Hacks and Hobbies. So excited to have you here.
Nate, it's a pleasure to be here with you.
You know, we've been connected for so long, and it's a pleasure to finally get to record this episode. You've done some amazing things over the years. You know, work with everyone from executives to Grammy-nominated artists. But before all of that, who was Frederick before Icon Status?
Oh, man. So I grew up in small town Mississippi in Alabama for a number of years. My father was a minister. And it was back in the 80s and early 90s when life was very, very different than it is now, right? Much slower. And I never had any ambitions of being a business or really anything in particular. But I started, I had a friend of mine who was also son of a minister. He and his brother had a singing group. I grew up in a musical family. We started singing together and started having these dreams of becoming superstars.
I love it.
And over the years, we formed a group. And this is back in the days when you had to go into a studio and record a demo, four-song demo, put it in a package in an envelope and send it off to record labels to be able to try and get a record deal.
Yeah.
And we were doing that for years, and that involved traveling. And I went to college, graduated from college. We were still pursuing that dream. And once I graduated, I kind of realized that being a superstar in music and having a 9-to-5 were not mutually exclusive, right? So those long weekends and late nights didn't make for coming into work on time, being a responsible citizen. So I started looking at other opportunities and say, well, maybe if I start my own business, right? And I was working at a men's warehouse at the time, actually. And I met a guy at a networking event who was selling commercial cleaning franchises. And a couple of weeks later, I sat down with him in a Subway. I had borrowed $200 or $300 from my parents, had a couple hundred dollars in my bank account, put that deposit down, and I bought my first business. And that's how I became an entrepreneur 25 years ago, you know. And so over the years, I've segued from that to being a songwriter, producer in the music industry after my group broke up. But I always had the business on the side. I was running that remotely for a number of years.
Yeah.
And then had a series of kind of segues from different businesses, marketing agency, PR, partner in a PR firm. And about 8 years ago, I started advising business owners on how to run their businesses based on my experiences and understanding of how to navigate those ups and downs of being an entrepreneur.
Dude, that's really powerful and very inspirational. It's almost like you're like, hey, these two things are not working together. What's the solution? How can we move forward and find something that does work together? And beautiful thing about the economy that we're in right now, like you mentioned, you know, it's a totally different world. We have the gig economy. Anybody can work at any time that they want. They want to work from 3 a.m. to 7 a.m. They can absolutely do that, delivering food or giving rides to people from airports. Like, there's so many different things. So amazing that you were able to find that solution. And, you know, getting into businesses gives you so much more freedom, like you mentioned. And in your book, In Breaking Orbit, you talk about discovering the power within. And you also share about, you know, when you realized that you had a broken orbit. So tell me about that part. You know, when did you realize that you had a broken orbit in your own life, even though you found these solutions that kind of worked together for you?
Yeah, man, for sure. You know, well, you know, business has so many ups and downs, and life landed me in one of those ups and downs. When I, so one year, my wife and I, we were just finding ourselves in a financial struggle, right? The eviction notices were on the door. Business was not working. I had a marketing agency at the time and things were not flying. And I actually ended up hiring a coach, took $500 that I really didn't have. I think I might have borrowed that $500 from my dad too at the time. Hired a coach and started getting to this program. And he had this thing that we used to talk about in the group, like using your gift, you know. And he gave me an assignment one week. He said, I want you to describe or define the solution that you have for your clients. And so I banged around on that thing for about a week. And I finally messaged him back and said, hey, man, I don't think I have a solution. And what he said in response to me changed the trajectory of my life. He said, God doesn't make people without solutions. And that was like a bomb went off in my head. And so I started thinking about that thing that we were talking about in the group, you know, using your gift. And I said, well, what is a gift? What does that really mean? And so that led me down this rabbit hole of writing my book, Breaking Orbit, my first book now. And it was just about understanding that we're all created with a unique superpower. Yeah. You know, you talked in the open about finding your genius. And I talk about how in the book, in ancient times, people believed or understood that every child was born with their own genii or genius, right? So today we think of a genius as, you know, a special person, but everybody had their own genius. The word genius literally means spirit attendant at birth, which means that you're born with this capacity to be able to impact the world in a unique and powerful way. But most of us never even realize that. We don't tap into it. And we have these misconceptions of what that really means. But when you can tap into your genius, when you can tap into your gift, your superpower, you have the capacity to be able to achieve things you never would have thought possible. And that's how we're all designed. And that's one of the things that really kind of set me free. I call it breaking orbit because we have this idea that to be successful means to be higher, right? So you have a single engine plane, and then you have jet planes, and they fly higher than that. And so we think that the higher you fly, the more successful you are. But really, when you're flying around the world, you're still in orbit, right? There's a limit to where you're meant to go.
Exactly.
And I use an analogy in the book to saying what we really are, we're really rockets. We're meant to soar out of space. We're meant to soar into the depths of the universe to be able to realize what's truly possible and what's out there. And for most of us, we're content to just circle around the earth and see the same thing over and over again. And how many of us live our lives in that circular motion, the rat race we used to call it, right?
Exactly.
But we're all rockets. We're all meant to soar among the stars. And that's the message that I always try to convey and to encourage my clients to be able to realize that you have that capacity to do so much more than you really think.
You know, that actually reminds me of a story where this an old fable where this man named Isaac didn't have much to go on. Most nights he would sleep without eating, and he had a dream. And he's like, hey, go to this specific town and you're going to find, you know, treasure under this bridge. And he just ignores it. The second day, same dream happens. He's like, you know, whatever, it's just a dream. Third day, he has the same dream. He's like, all right, maybe there's something to it. So he leaves his town, travels all the way to this main city. And when he gets there, under that bridge, there's guards. I'm like, okay, I can't really do nothing to find that treasure. And he's like hangs around there. On the second day, the guy, one of the leaders of the security guards, it's like, hey, what are you doing around here? Like, we saw you earlier yesterday. What's going on? He's like, well, I had a dream that if I go to this town and, you know, under this bridge, I'll find the treasure. And this chief laughed at him like, you are funny, man. If I were somebody who took action on my dreams, I'd go to this town and find under the stove of a man of I go to this town and in the house of a man named Isaac, I'll find a treasure underneath his fireplace. And he's like, wait, wow. I am Isaac. So he goes back to his town and he digs under and there it is. There's a treasure. So he sends a jewel to this person who told him like, hey, follow your dreams because you are going to find the treasure. So, you know, it's almost like you have to go outside of your comfort zone. And that's what he did. Like when you get a dream, you get outside of your comfort zone to find what's already within you. Mm-hmm. And that's what I see that you're helping people figure out. And, you know, you're talking about in your book, Breaking Orbit, is finding that inner genius that's inside of us.
Yeah, yeah. I call that discomfort zones, right? So we have a zone of comfort. Yeah. And then there's a region outside of that we're not willing to enter into. Mm-hmm. And the thing about it, a discomfort zone, is that you have to be willing to stay there because it's uncomfortable, it's unfamiliar. But a lot of times it's not even so much the things that we're afraid of, it's just that we're about uncertain of the unfamiliar.
Yeah.
Right? And we're uncertain of ourselves. I think the power of understanding your gift is that because it's in you, you don't have to be afraid of who you are. If you knew who you were and all you had to do was be yourself, right?
Amen.
And I talk about in the book that there's no class that you can go to in school that teaches you how to be yourself. Teachers will tell you that. People will say, be a follower, just be yourself. But no one tells you how, because we don't understand the most powerful aspects of ourselves. Mm. And it is those who truly understand themselves who are able to change the world by helping others to realize what's possible for them.
Dude, that's so powerful, Frederick. Now, talk to me about one early moment that showed you your potential was bigger than the box people put you in.
Oh, man. So again, I tell the story in the book about a time when I was at summer camp and there was a talent show, right? Mm-hmm. And people were signing up the day of the talent show. I wasn't thinking about it. I was like, because in my mind, I didn't have a talent. Mm-hmm. I could sing a little bit, but I wasn't like a great soloist or anything like that. And that, you know, oftentimes we think about talents, we think about them in those type of ways, which is what I was doing. I was about 11, 12 years old. And at the last minute, I decided to sign up for the talent show and do a comedy routine. Now, I've never been what anybody would say is like a comedian, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not the life of the party in that way, making people laugh. Sure. I don't know what possessed me to do that. But I got up there and I did it. And I started telling this story about, we had an excursion to an amusement park and I acted out what happened and all the things that were going on. And it was an out-of-body experience. Mm. People were rolling. Those kids were laughing so hard. I got a standing ovation and I won the talent show.
Nice.
And I never really processed it until I actually started writing the book. And then I remembered that story. And what I use that to illustrate that if you start looking back in your life, there are all these times where your gift is showing up. But because it's invisible to us, right? It's just who we are, just what we do. We don't value it as much. And we often envy what other people are able to do. And we wish, oh man, I wish I could be a podcaster like Junaid. I wish I could be like this pop star or this celebrity or whatever the case may be. We view those people as special because they're doing what they do. And we lack the capacity to understand that we have that same ability. You know, it's within us all. And that was one of the first times that I was able to realize part of my gift is the capacity to be able to just spontaneously be able to impact people, right?
Amen.
I didn't know where that came from. To this day, I probably couldn't replicate it again. but it's a reminder, it's a marker in my life that let me know, hey, there's something here that you can do that's unique and you just have to trust it. And I think probably that's the biggest lesson I learned from that. Trusting that inner voice that let me know it's time for you to step up. It's time for you to take this leap. And when you do that, it gives you the capacity to be able to crest the horizon in ways you never thought you could.
Amen, amen. That's absolutely powerful, Frederick. Thank you so much for sharing that story, because the fact of the matter is we all have that moment where comfort becomes a cage. Like, you're comfortable here, but then you feel trapped. So let's talk about, you know, what it really takes to step out of that orbit into our power. There was a video I was watching with he's a big physicist, and he talks about rocket ships and everything. He says there's a specific thing that the rockets are trying to do, especially when they're launching satellites. They're not getting out of the orbit of they're not taking off to go into orbit or to go to the moon. They actually have to fly in a certain angle to get into orbit so then they can launch those satellites. Right. But we're talking about leaving altogether the planet. Now, you've said that every person is born with a unique superpower. How can someone start to uncover their own superpower?
Yeah, this is a great point. And I actually had the very, very same question. Because my thought was, there's 8 billion people in the world. Mm-hmm. How do I teach 8 billion different people to find out something that's unique about them, right? So to answer your point there, in the book, I talk about 9 keys to discovering your gift. I won't go through all 9 now, but the first key is acceptance.
People can buy the book and get all the 9 ones, but we'll go into
they can. And it's a process, right? But the reason why the first key is so important, acceptance, is because you have to accept it. And believe it or not, that's a really hard thing to do. I have another book that I'm working on now. I have a new book. I'll talk about that in a little bit. But I have another book that I'm working on now called Anti-Beliefs. And it talks about the space that beliefs take in our life, right? And beliefs are invisible, but they're solid objects. And so in order to accept a new idea, we have to uninstall an old idea, right? And so the belief that we're not special is just as powerful as the belief that we are. But until we're able to uninstall our unspecialness as a value or a belief, we don't have space. And so that acceptance piece is really, really important. You've got to be able to just accept. And it's possible to just say, okay, I believe that. Let me go deeper to the next step. But until we do that, we can't really understand it. And part of that is understanding that we are designed that way, right? You know, like, we're both men of faith, you know, believing in a creator, believing that someone created us specifically with a purpose, right? And that's an important element of it. But a lot of us struggle in our relationship with our creator to believe that he made us with that particular purpose, right? And we wrestle with that when things go against us. Am I doing the right thing? Do I trust, you know, that this is what I was made for, that I'm on my right path, or whatever the case may be? And so being able to accept that is a huge, huge piece of it, you know? So starting there, you know, and from there, there's additional steps. I can talk about one or two more, but.
Yeah. I think that's really powerful, because you've got to be aware and accept who we are, right? Mm-hmm. When that's when the things start unfolding. Because if you're having questions about who you are, then maybe go find who you are first before you can go deeper into it. And I think most of us who've come to this point, even your story that you shared, you discovered, okay, these two things are not working for me. I need to go find what is going to work. And that's, again, having that awareness, having that acceptance of this is working, this is not working, let's make a change. Now, what's the, when people feel stuck or uncertain about their path, right? We're talking about that exact same thing. What's the first question that they should be asking themselves to even find the answer?
That's a great question. And I have a mentor, and he often talks about the fact that the structure of the question leads you to your desired outcome. And so one of the things we often ask ourselves is, what's wrong with me? Right? Which is, it comes from a place of scarcity and the assumption that there is something wrong with you. And so you're going to find an answer. And so what we do is we manufacture reasons that there is something wrong with me. We find the validity of that. Versus understanding, okay, maybe you ask yourself, what is my purpose? And I talk in the book about the way that we conflate different words, right? We use the word purpose and gift and skill and talent interchangeably, right? But if we look around the world, right, we look at our rooms, right, where we are. There's a light, a lamp, a chair, microphone. All these things were manufactured for a reason. They have a purpose, right? And it's interesting that we as human beings believe that we live in a physical, material world where everything has a purpose, and yet we as human beings do not. And so it's not, we often also believe that we have to go and find a purpose or create a purpose, right? But in reality, when you understand that your gift was designed for a purpose, you are designed to fulfill a certain function and role in this world. And unless you discover and walk in your purpose, the world will be devoid of that. And so you get to find that thing that makes you valuable. In scripture, it says, you know, a man's gift will make room for him. And the source of that scripture actually talks about the fact that in ancient times, when you wanted to have an audience with a king or a member of royalty, you would send ahead a gift of great value to secure your place, because just showing up unannounced was cause for death, decapitation, whatever they were doing back in those days. And so the gift that you would send ahead of time would get the royalty attention. And so they would grant you the audience. And so it says it makes room for you. It makes a room for you. Well, that's the same thing with our gift. We have gifts of great value innately. We're created with that. And so the purpose that we fulfill means that wherever we are, if we're walking in our gift, then we are where we're supposed to be, right? How many of us wrestle with finding a place in this world? You know, where do I belong? Well, you belong where you are, because wherever you are, you have the most value. And so as long as you're fully present to who you are and present with where you are,
yeah,
then you can be present to what you are and what you are creating. And so I would start there. Like, what is my purpose? When we look at what is the impact that I have on people easily, you know, effortlessly.
Yeah.
People will tell me what my value is to them. And if I'm around people who don't find value in me, then I probably should be around other people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So that's really insightful, because you're absolutely right. We are valuable where we are because we got here through the different trials and errors of our lives. Mm-hmm. You know, it was not just by mistake. It's by design where we are. Now, there's a big question that people has. You know, they're either chasing success or being in purpose. So talk to us a little bit about, you know, what's the difference between chasing success and walking in purpose. You mentioned purpose earlier. You mentioned we're walking where we're walking. What's the big difference?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. One of the things that we often do, again, is that we compare ourselves to others, that we idolize or envy in terms of their level of success. Mm. What often gets lost is that success is, however you define it, but is most often found when you are doing the thing or being the one that you were created to be, right? So again, if I wanted to be successful at basketball, and I'm comparing myself to LeBron James, and LeBron James is 6'9", 260, can run and jump like a deer,
yeah,
has incredible vision and a photographic memory to be able to remember plays from years ago. So he's a basketball savant. I compare myself to him, but I am 5'11", 180 pounds. I used to be able to jump. I was pretty quick. But the chance of me being as successful as him following his blueprint is not very likely, right? So being able to define what success looks like for me, but also understanding what is the thing that I can be the LeBron James of in my own world, right? Whether it's speaking, advising business owners, writing books, communicating, whatever the case may be, there's a thing that I can do that he can't do, that no one else can do the way that I can do it. There are things that you can do that only you can do the way that you can do it, and that the world has to come to you for it.
Yeah.
And being able to understand that when we are comparing ourselves to others, that is chasing success. When you are simply understanding what your purpose is and walking in your purpose, success comes to you. It has to, because the only way for anyone to be successful, what they need from you is to come to you to be able to receive it. That's how God designed it.
Yeah.
He designed a universe where provision and sustenance is in abundance, right? We've never walked into a room and looked around and said, man, I hope there's enough oxygen here for me.
Yeah.
Right? No matter how full a room is, we all believe that there's enough. We take it for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And we live in a universe that is in abundance.
Yes.
But yet we chase the things that are scarce when we forget that the most scarce thing, the most scarce number is one. And there's only one of you. So you don't have to chase what other people have, because then you will be a clone. You'll be a copy. Mm-hmm. But you can be the original you if you understand what is most valuable about yourself. And you can offer that to the world, because that is what makes it valuable.
I love it. I love this so much. Your gift is what you do. It's who you are when you're fully alive. Right? That's something that you wrote in your book, and absolutely love it. And that right there is a quote worth sitting with. Now, mm-hmm. Frederick, this has been a lot of fun with in this conversation. In our next episode, we'll go even deeper on how Frederick helps performers align that gift with strategy to create momentum that doesn't fade. Frederick, can you share a little bit of tease on what people can learn in the next episode?
Yes. We'll understand how that process happens, right? So we talked about powerful questions, understanding how to structure a powerful question to be able to understand what is most valuable about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then also understanding that the value that most of us are seeking to create as entrepreneurs and business leaders is to understand, how do we rise to the top, cream of the crop, right?
Yeah.
And there's a connection between giftedness and that level of business success, kind of what we talked about here, but we can unpack that and go deeper so people can understand, how do I create that value in other people's minds? How do I make it apparent? So I become a category of one. I'm a singular individual. I have a singular offer that people can have to come to me for.
Yeah.
But creates exponentially more value because it's so unique, because it's so powerful in that way.
Perfect. I love it. Thank you so much, Frederick. This was a lot of fun again. And we'll unpack in the next episode on how to get exactly what Frederick just talked about. Thank you so much again, and we'll catch you in the next one. Keep hacking your path. Guys, thank you so much for coming on. We're unpacking the icon status method on how to stay consistent, build your influence, and create success without sacrificing your soul. Stay tuned, and we'll catch you in the next one. If you want to follow Frederick, please check the show notes for links to connect to his LinkedIn, his Facebook, and all of the different places that he's teaching these amazing ideologies. And of course, the links to his books as well. Thank you so much again, and we'll talk to you soon. Congratulations, you made it to the end of the episode. Thanks so much for listening to our guest on this episode. Please send me an email at Junaid@hacksandhobbies.com to tell me what you loved about our guest today. You could find links mentioned in this episode on the hacksandhobbies.com website.